I want to do something that I had to do to Pastor Dan. Stage during the time, many of you will know, we had a 27-week outpouring that Pastor Dan's church had the privilege of hosting a banquet. It was an incredible banquet for 27 weeks. And at some stage during that time and this journey that we were on together, I had to do something to Dan that he then had to do to me, and now I'm going to do to you, to encourage you to persevere, to hang in there, to not give up. Dan had a phenomenal outpouring in his church. And for his sin of daring to have a revival, for daring to host an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, his denomination sacked him. I was there the day the letter arrived. I was stunned. The letter was dated the 26th of June. It arrived on the 28th of June, and it gave him till the 30th of June to get out. And his only sin was that he dared to have an outpouring to host a move of God's Spirit that would touch, that did touch 15,000 people. I remember a time when my brother was just, and it would be honest to say, and Dan, I asked Dan, could I tell this story? He said if I did, he'd sit on me. Ugh, that was scary. But he was crushed, he was broken, he was rejected. He was rejected by some, although not by God. And Dan had this big staff. It was a thing, I don't know, it must have been 6 feet or 6.5 feet tall. It was a staff like the rod of Moses. It was intricately carved, and he often used to, in fact, most nights, Brother Dan would come into the meeting with this big old staff. It was like a staff of authority. It was just part of Dan. Everybody in the country, well, everybody in the state, everybody that came to the meeting, oh shucks, 15,000 people knew about Dan and his big staff that he'd come in. It was just like a symbol of power, of authority, and Dan was so broken. Terrible things had been said to him. That there came a night, one night, when I remember grabbing this staff and coming to my brother and holding it out to him and said, you've got to take up the staff. It had been discarded in the corner of his office. He was just a broken man. And I remember this night just pleading with my brother, my best friend, just take the staff. Just take the staff. Don't give up. Don't you dare give up. God chose you to hold something, to run with something. Don't you dare give up. And I remember with tears running down this big man's face, hesitantly, he reached out and he grabbed that staff that night. And he rose up again, all 400 pounds of him. And then some years later, in fact, it was only about 18 months ago, I was a broken man. Jenny and I had been badly treated by some churches. I won't say which country we were in at the time, but. And on top of that, we'd seen people die. We had prayed for people and they had died. And I just was wrestling with this. I don't understand all to do with healing from God. I don't understand these things, all these things, but people were still dying, and then we had some churches badly mistreat us and take advantage of us. And to top of that off, I was just wrestling with the fact that here I was in international ministry, traveling the globe, but I had a son who was just in a bad way. And I felt a failure. I felt a failure because my son was in a bad place. I felt a failure because for some reason we were badly treated. I felt a failure because people I'd prayed for had died. And I just remember, I remember writing to Dan an email and just saying, I'm done. And I got the most incredible email back from him. And it went along the lines of, brother, electronically, by email, because this is the only way he knew how to do it, he said, I'm holding out to you a staff, a rod. pick it up, take it up. Don't you dare give up. And for this huge page, this man just poured out these words of encouragement, of perseverance, of continuing on. And I remember as I read this email, I cried and I cried and I cried. And then through tears, I banged back out an email straight back to Brother Dan. I said, all right, I'll take it up. I will, but you're going to have to stand with me. And so tonight, having given that sort of thing and received that something from a brother, tonight I stand before you and I tell you, do not give up. I want you, if you have a Bible, to turn to James chapter 1. I thank God for email. That ability, that instant ability to be able to communicate across the world. I tell you that if this man had not risen up and wrote a pretty no-nonsense email back to me, I don't know whether I would have continued. I don't know whether I would have continued. It was just to have somebody say, don't you dare, don't you dare, don't you dare give up. I hold out this rod as you did to me a couple of years ago. In James chapter 1, reading from verse 2, it says, and I hate this verse. Consider it pure joy. Give me a break, I think. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Come now to verse 12 of James 1, where it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Come to chapter 5 now. Verse 7, it reads, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged, for the judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Tonight I want to touch on this whole topic of endurance, of perseverance, of going the distance, of enduring hardships, of pressing on in. As I prepared this message, as I prayed about it, two people came to mind. One was Dan, because he's a brother I know that's been through hell and back on more than one occasion. He's had stuff said to him that I don't know anybody else that could take this, the absolute nonsense being said to somebody and somehow rise above. I honor you. You're an awesome man of God. I think of Raywin, who I know struggles. You're a star, girl. There are people in your midst that despite all have risen up, carried on and press on through. And I, as an international ministry, draw strength from that. I think it's incredible. I want to encourage you to hang on in there. As we go through life on our Christian walk, how many know that it is not a bed of rose petals, soft and velvety and lovely to the touch and to the smell? The fact is, we will face situations, even crises, that we will face just stuff in our life, mountains at times, storms even. How many know that is a fact of life? In fact, I know that, and thank God there's more than just me. I was getting worried there for a moment. How many know that, in fact, that the day I committed my life to Jesus Christ, became a Christian, literally all hell seemed to break loose. It all seemed to go from bad to worse even. Suddenly the hordes of hell rose up, were interested. And as I prayed about this message, as I thought about Raywin, as I thought about Dan here, I sensed in my spirit there are some of you who are facing situations, who are wading through strong waters, so to speak, and you feel like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you've had something declared over your life, and it's like a smack in the face. It's like, There are those, I believe, who despair of perhaps will you ever rise up, come out, overcome, make it. Perhaps you feel like giving up, turning back. Perhaps you've just contemplated not continuing on. That thing, that situation, that heart cry, that prayer that you've been praying, that you've been believing for, your heart's cry becomes, what's the use? You see, too many times we do not finish the race. We let the world, we let our circumstances determine our place. Too many times we believe the odds and accept defeat. But I want to say to you, before all hope is shattered and your dreams are swept away, do not give up. Do not give in. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a way. There is a way to rise up above defeat, to press on and not retreat. Perhaps you have failed before and you're too afraid to try again. If you'll only just hang in there, persevere, endure, I tell you, God will come through in the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He promises, and I've preached on this, that his promises are yes and amen. He promises he will never leave you nor forsake you. It just may feel at times like he's abandoned you. He has not. But sometimes what you are going through, what is happening to you, the storm you're encountering is about making you a good sailor. You see, calm seas never made a good sailor. The odd storm in life is all about just teaching us to learn to trim the sail, to keep the, what's the pointy end called, the bow into the storm, into the wind, as it were. I believe God's looking for overcomers, those who will endure, persevere, those who will, not by their own strength, but by the Spirit of God, rise up above their circumstances. I want to read you a little poem. It's a cute little poem. It goes like this. Two little frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. The one was wise and a cheery soul. The other one took a gloomy view and bade his friend a sad adieu. He came from the UK. Said the other frog with the frog with a merry grin, I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll swim around till my strength is spent, and then I'll die the more content. And as he swam, though ever it seemed, his struggling began to churn the cream, until on top of pure butter he stopped, and out of the bowl he quickly hopped. The moral, you ask, oh, it's easily found. If you can't get out, keep swimming around. I love it. I can just see this little froggy swimming away, swimming away, swimming away. I'm not going to give up. And all of a sudden, the cream become butter. Don't give up. Napoleon said this. He said, victory belongs to the most persevering. History records great men who've just pushed on through. The story is told of a man who failed in his first attempt at business. He then tried politics, and within 1 year he failed there also. He went back into business for yet another try and failed in that business again. Three failures, 3 years. He then asked his fiancée to marry him after 4 years of courting her, and she said no. Later, another sweetheart he was courting died. Good night. He struggled for the next 2 years and even suffered a nervous breakdown. And then taking 2 years to recover, he tried again in the political world and was again defeated. 2 years later, after that, he sought to be appointed again in politics and yet again was defeated. 3 years after that, he ran for a seat in Congress and was again defeated. This man then waited another 5 years to run for public office and was again defeated. During that time, his 4-year-old little boy died. He spent the next 7 years in obscurity and then ran again for political office, this time for the Senate, and again was defeated. The following year after that, he was nominated by his political party to be candidate for vice president, but was defeated along with his running mate in the general elections. After 2 more years, he had tried for the Senate yet again and was again defeated. And then another 2 years later, in 1860, he was elected the 16th president of the United States. He was Abraham Lincoln. Incredible endurance. A great man who had a massive influence on this planet, actually. Your own Winston Churchill failed twice to get elected in the early 1920s before he eventually succeeded. A man who accomplished so much. I need to do something. Never. Never, ever. Ever. Ever given. For I have myself the full confidence that if we all do our duty, and if nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, and I have it that they are, that we shall prove ourselves again to overcome, that it is the resolve of His Majesty's government, and many of them, that we will defend to the death our native soil. That we shall not flag or fail. And we shall go on to the end. And we shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas. We shall fight. I've lost my line now. On the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our little island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. And we shall never, 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 never give in. He's my hero. It has been said that there's no difference between heroes and the ordinary, except that the hero fights 5 minutes longer. I challenge you to never stop believing that God will come through in your circumstances. Just hang in there. Just 5 more minutes. Just 1 more heart cry. Maybe all it takes for breakthrough to happen. I remember quoting this and saying, troublesome times seem conspicuous and quiet times glide on by. And the problem is we get to the point where we just get consumed and overwhelmed by troublesome times, and we can get to a place where what we are saying to ourselves and to others is, I am always doing this, always struggling, it's always, and that's what word that comes out. And we forget about the quiet times. Just as God does not cause a howling gale to flow from the north and from the south at the same time, so I believe He will not allow the storms of adversity to strike you from so many directions that you sink. I have a little newspaper clipping here. I collect newspaper clippings and I hold on to them for years sometimes. I've collected quite a few from your newspapers that I will use one day somewhere. But this one is titled, Persistence Pays. It says, a Taiwanese school teacher has married an airline attendant after proposing 103 times since last year. The couple first met on a flight last year, and the hopeful suitor often timed later trips to coincide with her schedule just so he could get a glimpse of her. He proposed in the air, he proposed on the land, he proposed at sea, and after 102 refusals, she finally relented and gave in and married him. I love it. Marry me. No. Marry me. No. Marry me. No. Marry me. Oh, all right then. History is full of people that just persevered. We read that Adam Clarke is reported to have spent 40 years writing his commentary on the scriptures. Noel Webster, the famous Webster's Dictionary, labored 36 years forming his dictionary. In fact, he crossed the oceans of the world four times just to gather material so that what he was writing was absolutely accurate. Milton would rise at 4 o'clock every morning in order just to have sufficient hours to compose and rewrite his poetry, which stands among the best of the world's literature. Gibbon spent 26 years writing his book, The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire, and it now towers as a monument to careful research and an untiring dedication. Bryant rewrote his poetic masterpieces 100 times before he was satisfied, and they went to publication. You see, there is reward when we persevere. In Scripture, you read of men like Job in chapter 1 there, where he loses his livelihood, his stock are taken, his servant is killed, he loses his house, all his children, his sons and daughters are killed. Talk about calamity. It happened to Job in the Bible. And yet his response is not to give in, but to worship God. He says in verse 20, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart, for the Lord gives and the Lord's takes away, praise the name of the Lord." His own body is struck with terrible boils and illness. His wife suggests that he just simply curse God and die. And yet his response to his wife in chapter 2, verse 10 is, "Are you talking like a foolish woman? Shall we accept good from God and not the trouble?" Even his three best friends get in his ear and say some pretty heavy stuff to him. And yet Job's response at the end of the day is, "Though he slay me, yet will I worship him." And the end result of Job's perseverance, of just holding fast to the faithfulness of God, as we read that God doubles his blessing. Everything that Job had, God doubled. The fact is, God does have a plan for you. The fact is that no matter in your pain or your situation or the shock of what's been declared over you, God is aware of your situation. He is not so busy in Iraq or Afghanistan that right now, tonight, he is aware of the need you have in your bodies, in your lives, in your family circumstances or situation. The heartbeat of God is to intervene in our lives. And sometimes it just takes a pressing through. Sometimes it just takes a perseverance. Sometimes it takes just one more heart cry. And then God says, "All right, I will. I know what it's like. I suffered for 10 long years. And there were times when I would turn to my princess and say, 'I'm sick of being sick. I just want to die.' I planned my own funeral. If I'd had the moral guts, I would have killed myself. It was so terrible. And during those dark days, days when I was ready to give up, days when I would curl up into a ball on my bed and just cry like a baby because it was so bad, so racked was my body with cancer, my wife would gather me up in her arms and say, 'Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare talk like that. We will press through. God will come through.' And she'd take off. She would slap me around sometimes. I mean, she'd, "Ooh, I mean, don't you feel sorry for me? No? I have a friend that can get at you." Do not give up. The Apostle Paul says this. Come with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He writes in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, in hunger, impurity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, though through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. And then come now to chapter 11, where you really begin to understand what Paul went through. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, the Bible writes, says, and he writes, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the moon, on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled. I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And besides everything else, he says, I face daily the pressure, my concern for all the churches. And yet this man who went through so much, who was burdened for all the churches that he had on with around him, wrote in Philippians chapter 3, he says, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I press on for that high calling on Christ Jesus. One thing I'll do, I'll forget what lies behind, I will press on. If any man had a right to go into therapy for 1,000 years, it would be the Apostle Paul. And yet one thing he says, I will forget about that stuff that lies behind, I will press on. Do not give up. Press on. Press on. Just one more heart cry, just one more time, if you will come before God, maybe what it takes for a breakthrough in the heavenly realm. We know that Daniel cried out to God for 21 days, sackcloth and ashes, going without food, going without body lotions, going without bathing. The dude must have stunk. And yet when the answer finally came, the angel said, the answer was sent the minute you cried out to God, but I was held up in the heavenly realms. And sometimes we just forget that there is a spiritual battle. Stuff goes on in the heavenly realms. And if you give up, I believe there's a connection. There's a connecting between our heart cry, interceding and praying here on earth and what goes on in the heavenly realms. Don't give up. Keep crying out. Keep pressing in. Keep believing for it, because there will come a time when there's breakthrough in the heavenly realms and there's breakthrough down here on earth. And too often, we give in. Too often, we allow our circumstances to determine our place. And tonight, some of you are facing issues, situations. Some of you have been wading through things, wearing the cloak of heaviness and depression. Some of you have had declarations made concerning your own health. But I tell you that nothing is impossible for God. And there just comes a time when God says, yes, I will. And there's breakthrough. Do not give up. In the Bible, in Daniel chapter 3, we read the story, and you will know it well, of three Jewish young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible tells us that when King Nebuchadnezzar put up that great big statue and commanded that when the music sounded, everybody had to bow down, and you read the story where it says that these three young men would not do this, and they had decided they'd keep their face turned towards Jerusalem, that they would continue to cry out to the God of Jacob and Isaac and of Abraham. And what happens is that Nebuchadnezzar, who had a heart towards these three young men, the Bible says that his attitude began to turn. You know the story. He sets up this huge furnace. They make it 7 times hotter. It is so hot that even the guards that are used around it to stoke it are killed. We read that these 3 young men, they would not give in. They persevered. They said, if God delivers us, then well be good as that. But if he does not, it doesn't matter anyway. We know that they get thrown into the fire. And the Bible records that the king leaps to his feet in amazement in verse 24 of Daniel chapter 3. And he asks his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into this fire? And they replied, well, certainly, O king. And he said, look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, and they're unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods, and there was an angel amongst them. And it says later on in verse 27 that they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, but here's the neat thing, there was not even a smell of fire on them. Some of us come out of our situations, and although we've survived, we stink of the fire that's been around us. It's in our confession. It's in our attitude. But these men came out of that situation. They would not give up. They kept their face turned towards God. And the Bible says that not only did they come out unbound and unburnt, but there wasn't even the smell of the fire around them. Some of you have come through the other side. But for all intents and purposes, one would wonder, because there's such a smell of the fire that you've been on. Just the attitude, the way you talk, what you say, how you speak. Ah, yes, you've come through all right. But there's a terrible smell of the fire you've been in. And that's unattractive. And God's calling you tonight for some. You've been through the fire, you've come through the other end, but you know what? There is a place where he's saying, it's time to let it go. You've survived. You've been through. Forget it. Move on. Be like Paul. One thing I will do. I'll forget what lies behind and I'll press on. For some of you, this message tonight is just simply, do not give up. What part of do not do you not understand? Do not give up. For greater is he that's towards you than he that's in the world. I tell you, the power of heaven is on your side. There will be breakthrough. Nothing is impossible for God. I want you to stand in the presence of God tonight, if you will. I want to read to you another poem. And this kind of encapsulates a journey many of us find ourselves on. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and listen to this poem. It's kind of like a journey some of us are on. It goes like this. My earthly plans were made, I thought my path all clear. My heart with song overflowed, the world seemed full of cheer. My Lord I wish to serve, to take him for my guide, to keep so close that I could feel him by my side. And so I travelled on. But suddenly in skies so clear and full of light, the clouds fell thick and fast, the day seemed changed to night. Instead of paths so clear and full of things so sweet, rough things and thorns and stones seemed all about my feet. I could scarce could travel on. I bowed my head and asked why now this change should come, and murmured, Lord, is this because of what I've done? Has not the past been full enough of pain and care? But should my path again be changed to dark from fair? And so I struggled on. And I listened quietly, and there came a voice. This path is mine, dear child, not yours. I made the choice. 'Tis sure this way will be the best for you and me. And so we traveled on. Sometimes as we start on our journey, and the way seems so full of light and clear and full of cheer, and suddenly the skies, once so clear and full of light, begin to become thick and dark and changed to night. And for some, the path which once was so sweet and clear. Suddenly rough things and thorns and stones seemed all about your feet. And you ask, why is this? What have I done? Why should this change come? And God's word unto you this night is this, that the path is His, not yours. He made the choice. And He will walk with you, and He will not leave you abandoned. And you do not walk alone. And He is not unaware of the pain, the confusion, and the heaviness, and the doubt. He is aware. The word to you tonight is, do not give up. Do not persevere. Oh, I wish I had that rod of Dan's, for I would stand and hold it out to you this night. And I'd say, take a hold of this rod. Take a hold of the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Just as I held it out to Dan one night and he again turned to me by email, so tonight we stand. And as brothers, we stand before you this night and we say, do not give up. There is nothing impossible for God. He will come through in your circumstances. And I stand here with a brother who stood by me and as I by him. And so we stand here before you this night to tell you, do not give up. He will come through. He is not unaware of your circumstances. And together, we will overcome. In Jesus' name. Some of you have been through fires and you know there's a smell of fire about you. You have come through, but oh, the stink. Tonight, you need to stand before God and just ask Him to wash you. See, there's something about the river of His presence that washes and refreshes. And if you're weary from the battle, in a moment, come into the river. If you're in the midst of a situation and you wonder, will I overcome tonight? Let Dan and I stand with you. That in faith we might declare that word of breakthrough and victory over your life. Financially, job-wise, relationally, as far as family relationships, health. Tonight's about persevering, about pushing on through. That you would never, never, ever, 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 ever give up. Father, one of your names is faithfulness. You are a faithful God. And we thank you for your faithfulness, that you're the beginning and the end. You are all things and nothing is impossible for you. And tonight, oh God, as we stand in the river of your presence, that those who are discouraged be encouraged. Those who have the smell of fire, although they have come through, tonight would be just washed clean by the river of your presence. That tonight, Lord, those who are just facing, it seems, an insurmountable thing, that tonight it would be torn down. That tonight you would encourage ones, that their heart cry would become like the Apostle Paul. I forget what lies behind. I press on for that high calling. I press on for that reward. I press on. Oh Lord, let your anointing in the river of your presence flow. I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now come. Come. Come into the river. Come if you're discouraged. Come if you know there's that waft of burning around you. Come if you face a situation. Come if you need healing. Come and let us, just me and this big fellow here, stand with you and declare there is a way forward. There is a way to rise up. There is a way to press on, to not be defeated. Come. Come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come. It's early. There's no school tomorrow. I know some of you had work. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I see a man sitting before me. I've just seen a man walk up there just a few weeks ago. Was almost a vegetable in a wheelchair. Wow. Praise God. Nothing is impossible for God. That is incredible. Wow. Let's worship God. I think something's being unlocked in our midst. I think hearts are being changed. I think that the longer you soak, the wetter you'll get.